This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, and it is a gorgeous day out there. It is the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. It is a an amazing day. Now, it's a surprise. The weather is good. And I have Carol J. Perry on today, but she's going to be on the phone. So maybe that's why it's a beautiful day. Because I'll tell you something. Usually when she comes here to the studio, it is stormy. She's going to be on a little later. But right now, it's really a thrill for me. I have in the studio a wonderful young man. He's going to inspire all of you. His name is Davon Miller, and he has written and he has created a series. It's going to be, I think we're going to have 1,000 of these books. And it is just so exciting to talk to him about his Mr. Tickety Talk. Hi, Davon.
Hello, Patsy. It's so great to see you, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, this is a thrill. I am one of these people. I just love to encourage children to read, and that you were born reading.
Yes, I
which
was.
Is a story that you have to tell us, because that's how I actually feel, because I don't remember a time when I didn't read. I was just reading at such a young age. We were very poor, and we didn't have a lot of books, but we could afford comic books.
Okay.
So I learned to read from comic books. And my mother would read the words out, and we just learned to read from watching her finger go across the comic book. So tell us about how you started writing and some stuff about you.
Okay. About a little bit about me. I'm 18 years old, and I first started, I published my first book at age 11 back in 2014. But to start from the very beginning, I always credit my mother, who would always encourage me to read. She would, even before I was born, she would read to me while I was in her womb. And I remember she told me the story of how she got a phone call, and she a friend of hers was like, she told her friend, she's like, I'm reading to the baby. She's like, you didn't tell me you had the baby yet. She's like, I didn't. I'm reading to him. He's in my stomach. So
I love it. I love it.
From there, I just love to read and write. And a little bit of what related to what you said, how you learned to read like through comic books in a way. For me, my inspiration of loving to write, really read and write a little bit, came from actually watching like my favorite television shows. And from there, whatever I just saw on television, I would always just draw it out. And it just really just inspired me to write these stories based on whatever I saw on television. And so that's pretty much the basis of why I started writing. And it just never outgrew me, because I always wrote for my age, which was a child. And so it just always stuck with me throughout the years.
Well, you've done a really incredible job of creating a character. And I will tell us a story of how you developed Mr. Tickety Talk, because I relate very well to him.
Well, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, the story of how he was created was kind of a little sad, but one day I was in class and I was just bored out of my mind for some reason, which isn't really normal. And it was during middle school. I was bored, and for some reason I looked up at the clock and I'm like, wouldn't that just be an interesting story for to write about, just a little cartoon clock, pretty much. And from there, just so far I have 5 books. And really what Mr. Tickety Talk Clock is about, on the outside you see a red twin bell clock walking around the streets in big blue block shoes, but he's really about the essential of reading, and that's what each story kind of relates to in a way.
It does. Mm-hmm. And this is so clever. Now, I actually quite often was bored in school, particularly as I got older, because as I said, I was reading at such a young age. And so, as you know, when you're a reader, you love to read. And so oftentimes when I would have school books, I would read the whole book at the beginning of the year. You know, most kids will read this chapter this week and this chapter. Well, if it was a book for me, I'm going to finish it. I don't care.
I mean, funny enough for me, whenever I go to Walmart, I always go to the book section. And by the time we get to the front aisle, I'm already done with the book.
I know. I can do the same thing. It's so funny. So when you're like that, so often for me in school, it was very difficult because I had already read the entire book by the time, certainly by November, I knew the book. So I'm always hiding books inside books. I always had a thinner book inside my big book. And I think most of my teachers knew what I was doing, but I did look at that clock, like, yes, and I even got to the point where sometimes I'd write down, like 55 minutes and then knock it off, until the sort of the countdown, so that you came out with, everybody out there, when you see his books, you'll say, how many hours did I look at that clock? And then I never had this idea to turn it into a character with a real personality and a bunch of friends.
Yes. And in regards to Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, he's also a little bit like me in a way where I know in my fifth book, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock and the Magic Library, it really delved into the aspect of imagination. And that's what I use every day to create these books. And so in that book, you also find a friend of his. It's a little witch in there. And some other friends are Tina TikTok Clock, Little Ricky. In one book there, he receives a package full of animals. So there's all kind of quirky, insane characters, but they all just come together to tell all these amazing stories.
Well, you can hold them up because we're also on YouTube. Hold some up. And, there's Mr. Tickety Talk as a nice stuffed friend.
Looks very dapper in his bow tie.
Very. And where are the books? So you can hold them up too. Because I want people to go and it is just so clever. It is so clever. You have to admire somebody who just thinks out of the clock, we could say. So here are the five books already.
Yes.
So when you did the first one, it must have been so exciting that you had it done. And wow.
It was. And actually, before my first book got published, I was writing these big, long novels back in elementary school, and they would always go up to like 100 pages. And what's funny is, like, I would just read how I would write my stories originally. I would like get like journal paper, draw and write, rip them out and staple them together. And then I remember my parents, like, they're like, this is just too much. This is a little foolishness. And so, sadly enough, all my old stories were, like, thrown out. I know, but, it just really kept inspiring me to read and write, and they've just been always so supportive of me, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, this is incredible. Do you want to read?
Yes.
Yeah, read to us.
Time for story time,
that's
everybody.
Right. It is story time here on Joy on Paper, because we find that joy, that certainly Devon has found and has, it's inspiring. It is truly inspiring.
Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of my latest book, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock and the Magic Library. So let's see what happens. Mr. Tickety Talk Clock loves to read. He has books from A to Z. He has books about princesses, books about clowns, and even some books about the people in the busy town. He has books about race cars, books about the sea, and many more books as far as the eye can see. Another great book, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock said with a smile. I wish I could venture into my books for a while. He looked at all his books and smiled with glee, but soon a book began to glow as bright as a Christmas tree. Mr. Tickety Talk Clock soon noticed the glowing book. He took the book off the shelf and decided to give the inside a look.
Oh, this is so great. I love this.
I wonder what happens.
I wonder. Everybody, you have to get these books. These are delightful. And you have a wonderful voice. You were absolutely made for the radio.
Thank you.
I think you have a career here. And it's just, and of course, as an audible book, all of these are going to be terrific.
Yes. I'm hoping to get there soon to make them audiobooks.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to, because have you gone around to places to read your books?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Barnes & Noble yet? Have you been?
I have, yes. They were so grateful to have me there. And that was probably my number one place to go to have a book signing, because every single day, or every single month in a way, like, that's actually my favorite bookstore to go to.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Doesn't that work out nicely? Because I have a gift certificate
oh
here.
Oh my goodness.
From Barnes & Noble for
you.
What else could I give him? A gift certificate for $50 so that you can, when you go in there, you can do some shopping.
Thank you.
And actually buy books that you don't read before you check out. And because it is a wonderful place.
Now,
I don't know what they're doing right now. Mm. This is such a terrible time for all of us and for authors in general, and particularly for somebody like you, that you want a nice crowd of kids there.
Yeah. It is sad. And, you know, this is also, like, of course, it's one of my favorite places. And then also, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but there was this old bookstore called Borders.
Yeah,
that was such a wonderful place to go to. And I actually did visit a Barnes & Noble's recently. I went to work there for a little bit, and it was like a desert. There was hardly anyone there.
No, and they don't want to bring in a bunch of kids, but hopefully that'll be over soon. And you mentioned Borders. It's funny, as I said, you know, of course, I was reading from a young age, and my boys were also reading from a young age. And when my youngest son, Daniel, was 3 years old, he was reading at such a level that for Borders' summer sort of book extravaganza for children, he read 324 books.
Wow.
At three. And I'm not talking just picture books. I mean, he read books. And both of my sons, by the time they were 5 years old, had finished Hardy Boys. They were beyond Hardy Boys at five. So to encourage children to read is such, you are giving them a gift that will last a lifetime.
Mm.
And that's what I know you're going to be doing. And once we get back out of this horrible phase here of the pandemic, that you also have gone to hospitals and other groups.
Yes. Well, on the subject, before I dive into that, on the subject of inspiring kids to read, I got to tell this story. One day when I went to do a Great American Teach-In, I went to a group, I think it was fourth, fifth, third graders. It's in the elementary school genre age. And I said, all right, anyone here love to read? Everyone raises their hand except this one kid. I'm like, you don't like to read? No, not really. Are you sure? He's like, yeah, I don't like to read. And after I got done reading one of my books, I'm like, all right, how many now love to read? And he's like, you know, reading isn't so bad. It's actually pretty cool. So I'm so glad I could be able to do that job to fulfill doing that reading to him. And I think especially seeing someone of my skin color reading these books and writing them, it probably inspired him to probably write his own stories. And that's what I tried to do as well, to help kids inspire to read and write.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I know that you're going to make an impact on thousands of children in your life, because you have started at the right time with so many times people, you know, as I say at the beginning of the program, I say this is a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and so many times people just dream about it and they don't do it. Or recently I've met, again, during this pandemic, people who had put it off, and writing, whether it's novels or a children's book, they had put it off, and now they suddenly realize, I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, and I've been wanting to write. Just write.
Yeah.
That's it. Just start writing. Now, of course, you write and you illustrate.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
Oh, so, yeah, pretty much I just illustrate. Anything that pops into my imagination, I just illustrate as much as I can. Besides writing, I was always illustrating. I think that probably came number one before I started writing, and because I started at like age two, a very young age, so of course it's going to be typical for a little kid to draw whatever they see, and of course it just stuck with me.
And so you wrote the book, you had it illustrated. How did you publish your first book?
So my first book, all my books are published through CreateSpace, which is now Amazon KDP. And so I got to go back to elementary school. Big shout out to Miss Mobley, because she kind of like helped out start this transition. So first, I remember Miss Mobley, she was a substitute teacher that day. And then she found out I loved to read and write. And she helped me find the editor to edit these books, Mr. Vern. And so Mr. Vernon McKinney helped edit these books. And then also I got to give a shout out to Miss Brenda Spaulding, who I believe told us about this, the publishing company. And from there, so all these wonderful people are willing to help. So I've got to give shout outs to them, major props. And that's how I publish these books. I illustrate, and I used to send it to Mr. Vernon McKinney, and he would edit. We would call back on the phone. And from there, they're ready for print.
Wow. And they are impressive. And while we're doing some shout out, I want to shout out to Bria Burton, who is the one who told me about you, because she said, you have to see this amazing young man. He's writing. And Bria, of course, is an author. She's been on the program many times. Her most recent work is The Eyes of Mona Lisa, which is just a wonderful book. It's part of a series called The Masters Reimagined. And many of the authors who are submitting stories to this anthology, The Masters Reimagined, have been on the program, and including, of course, Bria and Charles Cornell and John Hope. It's a wonderful series. And Ken Pelham, they are all wonderful sci-fi writers, and they write these delightful stories. So again, Bria, I know you're listening, and we both want to thank you so much.
Thank you. She's wonderful.
Isn't she wonderful? Mm-hmm. And she runs like 5 kilometers before breakfast. It's like,
I've seen her on Instagram doing a lot of runs. So major props to her.
She's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I'm so grateful that she told me about you, because the minute I saw it, well, as I said, I related immediately that ticking down clock, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I you came along at the right time to do it, and I think it's just delightful. Now, I'm keeping you here for the entire hour, because I want to talk to you more about all of the other wonderful things that you do. But I'm also going to talk in a minute. We're going to talk to Carol J. Perry. And I want to give a little intro to Carol J. Perry, because, you know, Carol J. Perry was the very first guest in the studio when I started this program 5 years ago. And it's funny, I look very relaxed. We can talk very nicely, right?
Yes.
Where it's very, and I don't look like I'm going to faint or something, right? Well, it's so funny. Oh, I had never done the radio. And my first 4 programs were with people on the telephone. So I was okay. I was relaxed. You know, they were on the phone, and I wasn't too nervous. But then I invited Carol J. Perry. I met her at a writer's group, and I immediately liked her book. It was her book number 1, and it was a cozy mystery. I thought, I'm going to really, you know, enjoy this book. And so I invited her on the program. And as I said, she was the very first guest in the studio. I was so scared. I thought I was going to faint. But then I discovered that Carol J. Perry is a sweetheart. Hi there, Carol.
Hi, Patsy.
Okay.
Glad to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I have to have you on because it's getting near Halloween.
Yes.
And of course, what other author would I have on who writes these wonderful mysteries, Witch City Mysteries, all set in Salem, which is where you were born on Halloween Eve. And so I just needed to have you on. And I have in the studio today with me Davon Miller. And so it's really exciting for me to have you on the phone at the same time that I have this young and very talented author.
I have been listening to you while I was waiting for your call, and David, and my first fiction, you know, was for young people, middle grade, and I remember my first editor when I did my first kid book, Sandcastle Summer, saying, You know, we writers for children touch lives, and we do. And I was thinking, as you were just doing your interview with the young man, we do. And he told about the reader who didn't think he was a reader until he started. There'll be one book that'll come along that will turn a non-reader into an avid reader. We all know that, and wait for that to be one of ours.
Well, both of you are inspirational to me, because with you, you know, you started your Cozy Mystery series a little later in life.
And yes, I did my first mystery in 2013, or it was published in 2013.
And we're now up to number, what?
I just did the copy edits on number 11.
Oh, wow.
And that's 2 a year.
Wow.
And I am working now on book one in a new paranormal series for the same publisher.
And, you know, when we met 5 years ago, you were just starting off. And
absolutely.
Isn't it amazing
what you... first book.
What you accomplished in these years, and I am really so thrilled. And, you know, tell us about your most recent book that's out there, available at Amazon, and of course Barnes and Noble, because
yeah,
I just gave him
and quite a few other. Not everybody has them on their stands, but they're also available from Target and Sam's Club and
places like that.
Online, and the audio book, not of the new one yet, but Tantor has just purchased the audio rights to Murder Take Two, which is the one we're going to talk about today, and also See Something.
Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing what you've accomplished, and it's something just so exciting. And Davon here is just starting his career, and isn't it wonderful that writing, just you can keep going and going?
And it's something you can easily do in a pandemic, because it doesn't change your lifestyle very much, because we find solitude quite a happy experience when we want to write. I heard Mary Higgins Clark once say, somebody asked her if she enjoyed writing, and she said, "I enjoy having written," which is good, because when it's all done and you've gone back and forth on, oh, this is pretty good, to this is awful and no one will ever want to read it, and back and forth again, and when it's out and there are good reviews, it's such a happy thing.
Well, tell us a little bit about the most recent book.
Okay, Murder Take Two. This was so much fun to research, Patsy. You would have loved it, because you love research too. There was a crime in 1830 in Salem, and this is real. When a young man from a very good family named Dick Crowninshield murdered a wealthy captain named Joseph White. And in Murder Take Two, I have a duplicate happening in the present time, a murder that is so similar that, of course, it attracts the attention of the press and of WICH-TV, where my protagonist Lee works, those who read the series in order might remember from book five, I had a couple of twin retired Boston cops who took a course in TV production when Lee was teaching at the Tabitha Trumbull Academy of the Arts. And the twin cops have contacted Lee again to ask for her help, because their nephew had been accused of this crime. And it happened that the nephew teaches at the local university, and he had just done a course on Salem history which covered this crime, and he knew the details of it. And when a similar crime happened, and a history professor at the same university was murdered in the same sort of gruesome and bloody way, a little bloody for a cozy mystery, but I managed to leave out most of the gore. Then Lee and Aunt Ibby and a couple of Aunt Ibby's girlfriends, who sort of fancy themselves as amateur sleuths, sort of like Charlie's Angels, only the Golden Girl version of them, they get involved in helping to solve the crime. So I managed to use real Salem history and a current crime, and it also involves the game of Clue. Now, my dad worked at Parker Brothers in Salem for many years, where Clue originated, and so there's a little part of my history in there too.
Well, it is, again, it is one of these wonderful Witch City mysteries that people really should, if you want to splurge on, just really binge out there during this pandemic. We still are told not
Kathy,
to go.
I'm kind of losing you. Your voice is going away.
Okay,
something
well,
wrong with my line or yours?
It must be your side. I'm as loud as ever. But anyway, it was just wonderful of you to join us today here on Joy on Paper, and it's Carol J. Perry. Her books are available. If Barnes & Noble is open, she's found on the end caps and everywhere else. And just, Carol, thank you so much for being here. And just say bye to Davon here, because...
Bye, Davon, and bye, Patsy. Thanks
bye.
So much for
okay.
calling on my special time of year.
Okay. Happy Halloween. Bye-bye now, Carol. Okay, let's have a commercial, and then when I come back, we're going to talk more to Davon.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back with my very special guest here in the studio, Davon Miller, and he brought me a gift. My goodness, a mask, a Mr. Tickety Talk Clock mask. It is so nice. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, as I said, your book series, 5 books so far in the series, are just delightful. And everyone out there, if you have kids in your family, this is just a wonderful, wonderful gift to buy and to give to the kids. And we'll talk more about where maybe they can get masks too. But one of the wonderful things is that Davon is a very giving person. And I want you to tell us about some of the charity work that you do.
Yes. So one of them I do is really surrounded by asthma. And the reason for that is because at a very young age, I was diagnosed with severe asthma. And I was always just constantly in and out the hospital. And it got so severe that my parents were able to see my rib cage. Like, it was just going in and out. And we're so thankful. I outgrew it. God healed me. And so now what I do is whenever I have a book signing, I donate part of the proceeds in benefit of asthma to John Hopkins All Children's Hospital, because they were always there and they were just so caring of me.
Wow. This is amazing. From a young man who's already giving part of his profits to charity. Because I know many, to tell you the truth, I know many famous authors who didn't start giving away their money until they got really famous and they had excess. And I think, you know, it's always great that anybody gives away money to charity. But when you're young and you do it from your heart and soul and as a just a celebration of the joy of life, it is really quite amazing.
Thank you.
Now, tell us, so the how the books are available where?
And they're available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's online, IndieBound, I believe, and you're able to purchase them through me if you'd like.
Okay, and that's what we need to find out. How can they contact you? Do you have a website?
Yes, I also have an email, but my website is Davon Miller, that's DAVONMILLER, .wix.com/author, AUTHOR. AUTHOR. And also, I have an email, authordevonmiller@gmail.com. And I'm very easy to find. It's always Author Davon Miller on Facebook and Instagram.
And a lot of people do Instagram now. So definitely check it out. What about these face masks?
Is
this a special order?
That's specifically for you.
You did this. Look at this. It's so adorable. It's a wonderful, wonderful character you've drawn.
Thank you.
Really amazing. And you have bookmarks,
yep,
and all sorts of things.
Bookmarks, pencils. They're able to get those whenever I have book signings as well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I do hope that you're able to start the book signings again.
Yes.
And also, probably, have you been invited to schools?
I have. Hopefully, I'm going to do the Great American Teach-In, but it'll be through Zoom. But of course, I have been invited to some schools, and I'm just very grateful for that.
Well, I'm sure that as you get out there and more people discover you, once we can have crowds again, you're going to have crowds of people. There are so many authors who are just have this magnetism. Rick Riordan, for example, is an author who, when he speaks at schools, now he does middle grade books, they treat him like a rock star. Hmm. I mean, he is really that popular with an auditorium of, 400, 500 kids. They act like he's a rock star. And that is so nice for an author.
It is.
To know, to get that, isn't it exciting when they, as you said in your little story about finding a child who wasn't interested in reading, but to see that look on their face when...
It is. And that, actually, like, to and kind of in relation to that, like, I actually did a children's campaign this summer. This was all inspired by the Black Lives Matters movement. And basically what that was about was helping African-American authors. I was had a campaign to donate $2,020, and I was able to purchase some children's books that were by indie authors. And hopefully what my goal was to help spread that, find that book that maybe someone hasn't read yet. Hopefully they can fall in love with reading as well. So hopefully, and also to help get the authors' names out there, because I know there was a lot of issues with the publishing industry that I discovered actually through the Black Lives Matters campaign. So I'm very grateful, and I'm happy to help out with any authors that I can.
Well, that's always been my goal, that I believed in diversity of authors. Because when I started, as I mentioned, when I started this program, I had never been on the radio, didn't know any authors, had no idea of the publishing business. So I didn't know, for example, that most radio shows, I mean, they only want best-selling authors.
Right.
I was inviting everybody. Well, I was inviting people. I took books off my bookshelf. I said, I like this author. I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And so it never occurred to me to, limit it. And so that's why I've had such a diverse range of authors. I love children's books, so I have children's authors. I love, sci-fi, Bria Burton. I mean, she was one of the first sci-fi authors I had on the program. I love cozy mystery. And I love, from any background or any gender, this is what it's about.
It is.
Because you never know which book will touch a heart.
That's very true.
And that's what I'm trying to do always, to find that book that somebody out there will say, I want to try that book. I want to get it for somebody. I know somebody who it will help. Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the books that have influenced you.
Oh, my goodness. I got to say, going back to this summer, The Hate U Give, such a very powerful book by Angie Thomas. Oh, my God. And it impacted me so much that I went to the library to get the book. I started reading. I'm like, I got to get this book for myself. And I wasn't even done with the book. I already purchased it for myself through, I think it was Barnes & Noble's online. Also, another book that influenced me, The Land of Stories by Chris Colfer. That is such an amazing book series, all in the setting of fiction and fairy tales. Jeff Kinney, who did Diary of a Wimpy Kid, can't go wrong with that. Same with Dav Pilkey, Captain Underpants. I would always read those books.
He's been on the program quite a few times.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's awesome.
He's a great, great friend of Joy on Paper.
Wow.
And I love him. I just love him. And we always have so much fun when he's on the program because, well, again, this is an example of somebody who he's touched so many hearts.
He has.
And he's just, and he's so delightful.
Very funny with his books.
Oh, he's very funny. And as I said, I love having him on the program. So, you know, this is a wonderful thing. Authors really have this ability, when they find the joy on paper, to share that joy. That is so important. And, you know, I want everybody out there to think about this. If you have one thing you can do also, even if you don't have children in your family, you can buy Davon's books and give them to, I don't know how many libraries are open, but give them to organizations, give them to churches so that they can distribute. And it's going to come up soon. Christmas is going to be coming. And for many children, this has been a sad time. This has been really rough for them. So many children are in the house. I know quite a few people who their kids just don't go out and certainly don't mix with other kids. So books are a source of comfort. And so if you, even if you don't have in your family kids, buy these books and give them to a church, because they're going to start putting together, I think, packages. You know, they'll put books and they'll put other little things in to give as gifts at Christmas and to hand out. And there'll be a lot of also some of the food shelters are doing that. They are like to include a book inside. So if you buy, you know, 5 books, give it to the food shelter, they'll include a book inside the bag when they give it, and they know that there's a child in the family.
Oh, wow.
So this is a wonderful thing to do. And it's so important that, as you see, what can happen to a mind when it's just touched at the right time?
Yeah, a lot of things can happen.
Exactly. You know, and you read so beautifully. Would you read another part of one of your other books?
Of course.
Because I know people are just going to be thrilled. They're going to all say to me, they're going to say, oh, give them the whole hour, let them read all the books. But no, we're not going to let do that, because we want you to go out there and buy the books. But we will let you hear and get a little teaser here. This is a teaser, just like fancy preview of a movie.
Yeah. So this book I'm about to read is Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, The Travel to Washington.
Oh, this one's a good one.
One day on Cuckoo Island, which is located near the Florida Keys, little Ricky was watching TV until he heard the doorbell ring. Ding dong, ding dong. Hey, Dad, there's a huge package outside, little Ricky said. A package? Who's it for? Asked Mr. Tickety Talk Clock. I don't know, little Ricky said. Mr. Tickety Talk Clock brought the heavy package inside. Mr. Tickety Talk Clock set the package down. It was addressed to Washington. Mr. Tickety Talk Clock then opened the box. When Mr. Tickety Talk Clock opened the box, he got a huge surprise. In the box was a black and white puppy, a little orange kitten, a green parrot, and a gray baby elephant.
Oh, my. Oh, and I just wonder. I can't imagine, but I wonder what's going to happen in Washington, D.C., because that is an exciting place to go. And I have a feeling they might just run into somebody really, really important. And you have to get this book and discover all of the adventures they have along the way. It is so clever, and it is so cute. Wow. I am in such admiration for what you've done here.
Thank you.
I predict such, I mean, it's, the world is open to you. And you've created this for yourself. And this is the beauty of it. When you just go out there and try and follow your dream, I think we are talking here to somebody today, and I predict it's going to be an amazing, amazing adventure in his life. We are going to see one day, we are going to see Tickety Talk Clock in animation. Somebody's going to pick up this character, and somebody's going to run with it. And we are one day going to have a Mr. Tickety Talk Clock movie.
About one day, hopefully.
One day, and not too far in the future. Because when you have goals and you set them and you work towards them, they can come true.
Yes.
Dreams really can come true. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you doing right now? Are you in school? What's happening with your life?
Right now, I'm in school, also still reading and writing, working on another children's book that's actually outside the world of Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, and I also had an idea for a novel. And of course, I'm in school, and I'm going to St. Petersburg College for 2 years to get my AA, hopefully to major in theater, because that's a avenue I want to go to, hopefully to do voiceover work.
Well, he's got the voice for it, and the voice also for Audible Books. I think you will do a great job. And for theater, of course, I love the theater. I've only been on the stage once, and it was actually quite by accident. But if I could go back, I think I would have been in the theater, or because I loved it. My youngest son wanted to play the fiddle in The Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
He was very young at the time. He was like six years old, and he wanted to do it. So we went to audition, but he played the violin actually better than the violinist, but he was so cute. The director said, "Oh, no, I want you to be in the show,
okay,
as part of the village, one of the villagers." And then my older son was sitting in, we were at rehearsals. And so like the second day of rehearsal, the director said, "Well, why don't you to join in? You'd be great in this village sequence. You have a nice voice." And because he was sitting in the audience singing along, and the director heard him, and the director said, "Well, why are you in the audience? Get up there on stage."
Wow.
So he joined in. Wow, that was really great. And so we were into rehearsals, and like my husband and I were going, because of course they were very young yet, and we were driving them, and then my husband's there, and my husband's a tall, tall, he was bald, very impressive looking, and they needed somebody to play the priest of the village.
Okay.
And so it's just a walk-on part, not a major part. And the director just turned to my husband. He said, you play this really great. I think, got that big hat that the priest wears and put him up on stage. And my husband had never been on stage before either, but he fit right in. He just, And so I'm sitting there after a week, 2 weeks of rehearsal, and I'm there sitting still in the audience. Never. And, of course, I'm taking pictures all the time. And then they were short of villagers for some reason, and very reluctantly, it wasn't the director who said, "Could you join in?" But one of the other people said, "Well, she's sitting out there anyway. Just throw her in the village."
Oh.
And so, and I could tell you, I think the director's eyes rolled or something. And so they put me in this village scene. And, it's a song and dance, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, you're singing and you're dancing.
Of course.
And those people were all singers and dancers, and they put me in.
Uh-oh.
Well, now, I'll tell you, I had been watching for a couple weeks, so I knew the steps.
Okay.
I knew the songs by heart, of course. So I could get right in there. And the poor director, I think he aged during the process. But I got in, and I just sang and danced like crazy, like I belonged up there. I think one time I might have stolen the show. I wasn't that good, but I was so enthusiastic that I stood out, which probably the others didn't like it, but I was having fun.
Yes.
So, you know, that's part of it.
I think that's one of the keys of being in theater. You got to really go outside your comfort zone.
I would have stayed on stage for every scene. I mean, I wanted to be with all of the scenes. So that's when you find this. That's why you have to try different things in life, isn't it?
That's right.
Because you don't know. But, of course, in Devon's case, he knew he was going to be a writer, a 100-page novel at the age of 11, right?
Oh, that, the 100-page novels era, that was like third grade, maybe like age nine or something. Ooh, like that.
You are amazing. Damon, I think you are just fantastic. I am so happy. Oh, I want to play one song. I promise to play this song. We'll play something from a very nice young lady who, let's play that song. And then I'll talk about it, okay? I hope we have it. I think we have it. What's her name? Do we have it today? Let's keep see if we have it. And I promise to play it. It's a song from a girl from St. Louis, Missouri, and it is really cute. And I just wanted to play it for her. We don't have much time, but if we can play it, because I got so carried away here with David, we're gonna play it. Okay. We have time and...
Been stowed away on this boxcar for quite some time. We plan to ride it all the way from Maine to Canada. Company's gone. I could choose to step off and make my way back home, or I could choose to keep moving on. My time is come and gone. Maybe I'll stay my welcome, but I've outgrown this boxcar and I'm headed down the
Woolbright. And Haley Woolbright has a new album out. It's called Hindsight. And I just wanted to play it. One, because I got a kick out of it that she's talking about boxcars. And I didn't know if anybody still knew about boxcars. Did you like the song?
I did. I'm going to have to add it to my playlist.
It is nice. It has a nice thing. And in the song, she says, her time has come and gone. Well, that's what I'm telling all of you. You don't want to say your time is come and gone. You want to grab that time now, right?
That's right.
That's right. And I thought that was just it's just such a nice song. And I had never heard about her. And she sent it in to me. And I said, you know, I like this Haley girl. I think she's got a good song here. It's got a nice, I could listen to that every day. So again, I want to thank Haley for that song. And she is from St. Louis, Missouri, which is actually a gem of a city. None of you can go, we can't travel to Europe this summer, but if you want a lovely city to visit, St. Louis, Missouri is really underrated. People don't talk about it, how beautiful the city is. And it's just, it has one of the greatest, it's a park, bigger than Central Park. It's called Forest Park. It's absolutely gorgeous. And they have from the 1904 World's Fair, they have an art museum that is fantastic. So it's a wonderful place. If you're looking for some place to travel, and the nicest thing for many people is that it is a home of Budweiser beer, and they have an enormous place there that you can tour. So that's just, again, I want to thank Haley for that song, and I think I'll play it again some days, just when we need something to cheer us up, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, well, David, again, people can find Davin. It's author Davin Miller. Go to Instagram or Facebook and contact him. Send him a message, and you can find out more about his books. And again, these are just wonderful, wonderful books to give to kids and to give to as a gift for a church or any organization at hospitals like Shriners. Oh, wow, wouldn't they appreciate if somebody just order a whole bunch of them and send them into Shriners, because those kids are so wonderful. So I want to thank you so much, Davin, for coming to the studio today. You are an amazing person, and I just, the minute I read the first book, I said, that's it. This is a star is born, and you are, and I am just thrilled. Thrilled that you came to the studio today.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Okay, and I have a few things for you. I have a shirt. I hope it's big enough. It might be. And and I also have a mouse pad, and I have other things to give you.
Oh.
And so, again, thank you, Davin Miller, for being on Joy on Paper today. Because everybody, remember, one of the joys of life. Oh, by the way, NaNoWriMo is coming up. That's National Novel Writing Month. In November, my goddaughter has done it 3 times, written a 50,000-word novel in a month.
Oh, wow.
You should try it. It's wonderful. She didn't force me. She encouraged me to do it. And I did it 1 year, too. So it's really a wonderful thing to do. And just everybody, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping and keeping my fingers crossed for Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. He saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan.